Greetings to you, my sisters and brothers in Christ, saints and sinners, and children of God. Well, now we're out of this wondrous Christmas season, and we spent a little time, Michelangelo and I, cleaning up in here in the sanctuary, just de-decorating, so to speak, a little bit more time than we expected to, and it's not all completely done. There's still some decorations over here on the side. You can't see them, but they're back there, and they need to be put away. And so Christmas is not entirely forgotten. We still have it on our minds. But it feels like no sooner than we've gotten out of Christmas, and we jump into Jesus' ministry, full force. Now, today we're hearkening back to an account that we heard at the beginning of Advent, one in which John the Baptist makes his important prophecy about the coming Messiah. We come full circle, because when we look at that reading, when we read it at the time, we're looking in anticipation. But today we're reading about Jesus' baptism, which is a baptism like no other baptism. But, like others, we see that Jesus was baptized in the midst of a time when other people were being baptized, putting Jesus in the midst of humanity, and emphasizing the fact that the baptism is indeed a communal event. We don't go get baptized in secret. It doesn't even make sense. However, it's important to emphasize once again that the baptisms that were done by John before Jesus showed up, in fact, all of the baptisms that were done in those days were done as repentance, to declare a human being free from sin or for purification. It was done so in order that their enmity be washed away and that they become new faithful people, or to be newly cleansed. And they could be done over and over again, and often had to be done over again, particularly if one person was somebody who just couldn't help themselves. But Jesus is by his very nature free of sin. Even though he was fully human, he yet remained fully divine. His baptism, therefore, took on a wholly different dimension. And so when Jesus became baptized, he changed the very nature and definition of what baptism is, at least for us. The immersion in water becomes a sinking of the body into the Holy Spirit, whereupon one is baptized also with fire, and one's shortcomings become entirely burned away. Now, although we do read the baptism, the account of Jesus' baptism, in all four Gospels, nowhere else but Luke do we read this description of the Spirit descending bodily, in bodily form like a dove, after which Jesus prayed. Now, after Jesus had prayed, the Spirit came bodily like a dove, in which the heavens opened. And when we say the heavens open, and I know that for us today, right now, in this mercifully wet El Nino year, when we hear that the heavens open, sometimes we think of rain coming pouring down, and we become drenched. But for the Jewish people, when the heavens were opening, it was more significant. Because it meant that this always sealed division between earth and the realm of God, there was all these waters in between that. And it meant that the earth was open, if only a crack. And it was all at once perilous and frightening. Oh my God, the reality is cracking open. And so the physicality of the Spirit at this time is all at once telling. Now Luke pulls no punches. He wants us to experience and understand without a doubt that there was, upon this awe-inspiring experience, a beautiful, pure white dove that alighted on the body of Jesus and in some way stayed with him, emerged with him. We're not quite sure. Luke doesn't go into very detailed descriptions of what exactly people saw, but they saw this white dove. They really saw this white dove. And they heard this voice coming from out of this rift up above to all those present that the voice's son was the beloved, and that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was so well pleasing to the voice from beyond. And now our anticipation and their anticipation is over. The mission and ministry of Christ has finally begun. And so, while Christ's baptism was like no other, we find many similarities between his and ours. We have the communal nature of them. And whether or not others were baptized at the same time as you, nevertheless, our baptism took place within a fellowship of the people of God. And our baptism, like Jesus's, was the start of something new and different, an entry into a life of expectations and deliverance. But there was probably a bit more ceremony when we became baptized, for at least for most of us. Maybe some candles and lightings and maybe some singing in the back. Depends on how much money your parents or your baptismal sponsor put into it. And maybe, certainly more clothing was involved. And maybe a little bit of oil of anointment. And for most of us, much less water. Now we in the church have come to understand baptism as a means of membership. And that in receiving baptism, one is automatically entered into the roles of a congregation and thereby earning the rights and privileges that membership of that church conveys. And there is some truth to this. In fact, as some valued and beloved members of the Lutheran Church of the Cross can attest to. And more than that, baptism joins one into the community of Christ, the church at large. It provides a means to be seated at the table to share the Eucharist with any congregation, although certain denominations may require specific declarations as well. It is a choice that we make in our lives to align ourselves to Christ and to the way of the life that He draws us into. Baptism, though, is indeed more than a simple community-building event, because it is the start of a brand new way of life. As we see in the Gospels and the Acts and in the letters, baptism has actual little to do with membership, but it is the washing away of an old life and the donning of a new garb, clothing oneself in Christ. The holy God garb of God's mission and ministry in the world. When we are baptized, we become, by virtue of the power of the Holy Spirit, called to serve others in love and commitment rather than reign over them. And it is in call to remember one's own baptism that we regard that moment that God called us into the world to engage in the good ministry of living a Christ-centered life. It matters not whether we can actually recall being baptized, because I know a lot of us, me in particular, many of us grew up in some homes. That was a moment that took place not too long after we were born. And so let me give you a little insight onto my own baptism, and maybe it can provide you with a memory or help you remember yours. My mother and father were a very young couple of 23 and 25 who had two children already, 3 and 4, who I don't know whether they were up here with me being baptized or being kept apart, probably knowing my sister and brother. They needed to be kept out of the room so we could go forward with this. They had brought this infant Carrie into this new congregation that they had just become a members of in Omaha, Nebraska. And the little baby looks in wonder at his mom and dad, not knowing what's going to happen, as they hold him in their arms, bearing him forward for this ceremony to take place. And this pastor, I don't remember his name, I don't know if I've ever known it, read some words, and the parents read some words and respond in words, and they're words I've yet to comprehend. Maybe the word carry might have stuck out. Maybe not. And suddenly there's water poured over my bald head, and I've got this surprised look on my face. And a second time, and I begin to scowl. And finally, a third time, and thy lungs pour forth a burst of crying. And then my embarrassed parents are trying to hush me as I continue crying and wailing. And the pastor rushing through the words until the end, trying to be heard over my screaming. And then that's done. And this child has been baptized, and what took place? And so any dove of the Holy Spirit that might have alighted over me would have done so in secret, using the opportunity of this child's distracting behavior to enter silently. And if God called out on my baptism, it wouldn't have been heard by the scowl of the infant's piercing moans. And at least that's how I can imagine my baptism went. And that's how I choose to remember it. But the Spirit entered in. The promises that the community made on that day, we eventually learned something of what it means to be lived in a life of Christ and what that moment of baptism gave to us. And so when we are called to remember our baptism, we are called to discipleship and this ongoing revelation of growing in Christ, living in Christ, and doing the work that Christ calls us to do. We are called to take on the mantle of what being a follower of Christ entails and to bear witness of the intentional interruption and interference of God in our world. And by the strength and guidance of God's Holy Spirit propelling us forward, we are able to do our lives and day-to-day activities in a God-oriented direction of servitude, witness, help, and healing, and giving hope to the needy, all the while being the good news that Jesus Christ calls us to be in the world. That, my sisters and brothers, is the good news of baptism, of Christ in our lives. Amen.